Galatians chapter 5, we are working our way through this great book of the Bible. The Apostle Paul has written to the churches there in Galatia and is warning them about false teaching. The Apostle Paul, on his missionary journeys from the book of Acts, went into these different cities and preached the truth of Jesus Christ. Jesus declared in John chapter 14 and verse number 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So Paul and Barnabas went city by city and preached the truth. Paul and Silas went city by city and preached the truth. And as people responded to the gospel, there were churches that were planted. And according to this gospel, or to this epistle, the Apostle Paul was dealing with individuals that had come in after these people were born again and saved, and a church had been established, and they were now trying to put upon them a yoke or burden of the law. And they tried to say that it was really nice that they had been saved by grace, but now you need to adhere to the different dictates of the law. And so you need to add works to what you have done in accepting the grace of God. And the Apostle Paul has refuted that in chapters 3 and 4. He refuted it from his own testimony. He refuted it from Old Testament illustrations. He refuted it by the testimony of God himself. And he comes here into chapter 5 and says, listen, we are free in Christ. Look down again with me, if you would, at verse number 31. Brethren, believers, we are not children of the bondwoman. We're no longer in bondage to the law, but we are free. We're of the free. Jesus Christ has set us free. And according to the opening verses of chapter 5, we're not entangled in that yoke any longer. We're not attached to the master by the name of Satan or sin. We're no longer in bondage. The Bible says that Christ profits us as believers, as the children of God, verse number 2. The Bible says that we're no longer in debt to the law, verse number 3. The Word of God says that we are in grace and living by the grace of Almighty God, verse number 4. We have not fallen from grace when we're in Christ if we follow the truth. And then, of course, we have the blessings of eternity, where we will experience the great righteousness that is found in a glorified body. Now we come to verse number 7 and to the character of the false teachers that the Apostle Paul was dealing with, and that the churches at Galatia, or specifically the believers in Galatia, were dealing with. And so from the beginning, Paul has refuted this matter of salvation by works, and he has declared, we're saved by grace, we're sustained by grace, we're sanctified by grace. It's all of grace. And I've rehearsed with you the first four chapters and led up to this passage here. And he declares to us that these are false teachers. Look at verse number 7. Ye did run well. You started the race very, very well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Throughout the writings of the Apostle Paul, he addresses different ones at different times that were taking believers away from the truth and moving them away from what they know to be correct and right. Here in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, he addresses those that are preaching another gospel. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 14, he addresses a man by the name of Alexander the coppersmith, someone that had resisted Paul and his preaching, and the Bible says he had done him much evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, the Apostle Paul speaks of any man who teaches otherwise, something that is beyond the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and beyond the doctrine of godliness. The Apostle Paul addresses it there. Bottom line is, do you and I recognize false teachers? Would we recognize a false teacher? Well, many individuals will get up this morning into a pulpit much like this one, and they're dressed in a very nice way. They're carrying a very nice copy of a book, most often. If it was under the umbrella of Christianity, it is a Bible or some version thereof. And people will sit in a pew, much like you're sitting here this morning, and they'll listen. And perhaps they're sitting there listening to someone that is actually teaching them things that are contrary to the Word of God. Now, I would say with you this morning that none of us want to be deceived. Deception is not fun at all. At times, people will deceive us. It happens in religion. It happens in politics. It happens with magicians and illusionists. They've deceived us into thinking one thing is true and another thing is actually the truth. But in truth, no one wants to be deceived. How many times have we been interested in a used automobile but we're nervous about buying it because something just doesn't seem to be right? In days gone by, my son was involved in an accident and it wound up totaling his car. And so we had to go through the process of purchasing a different vehicle, and that is never fun. Some of you just love it. Some of you love to go into the dealership and go back and forth with the dealer and walk out of the dealership and make everybody mad and then come back in. But the bottom line is when we're involved with all of that, whether it's buying the car, fixing the car, selling the car, there's always times of potential deception. How many miles does that car have on it? Oh, it's so few. It was only run back and forth from church and to the grocery store. And you're mindful of that, and then you find out, you go to the report on the car, and here it's been involved in more accidents than a NASCAR race car, you know? And you're thinking to yourself, I'm really getting a deal on this. But in truth, it got hit by 17 cars in a pileup on I-40 in the middle of Utah. And I don't even know if 40 goes through Utah. But and then someone bought it in Utah, and it went to Florida, and it got caught in Hurricane Andrew. And the water filled it, and it was floating halfway out to the sea. They salvaged it, brought it back, and it's a great automobile, and you ought to buy it. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want to be deceived. How many people have been deceived by baseball cards that were surely going to go up in value? And you spent that $150 on that Barry Bonds pristine rookie card only to have it found out that Barry Bonds was involved in a scandal with steroids and now his card is worth 20 cents. Okay, so that might be a personal illustration. May not apply to anybody else. I loved baseball cards at one time, and everybody said, oh, this Mark McGwire is bound to be worth a ton of money. Yeah, right, you know? So we have all those kinds of things. We don't want to be deceived. Wouldn't it be great in our judicial system? Wouldn't it be great for all of our law enforcement officers if they pull up on a scene and everyone says, officer, let me tell you exactly what happened, and then they proceed to say exactly what happened? Wouldn't it be great in our judicial system if they got on the stand and said, you know what, I did it. It's crazy now, and I know it's presumed innocent until proven guilty. I understand all of that, and I'm thankful for that, but it's crazy how nowadays we have videotape, and we have the videotape that shows the individual. We have the ID of the eyeball and the fingerprint. We have everything down, and they say this, the alleged criminal. Alleged, nothing. His picture's right there. He's stealing the jewelry, you know, or whatever. And individuals don't just come clean and say, you know what? I'm guilty. I did it. No one wants to be deceived. We want to really just get to the truth. What is the truth? We have a lot of teachers that are present here this morning. They're involved in school, and we were listening to some excuses that students have used before. How many times do students come in and say, I didn't know I had a project. I didn't know that I had to take a test today. I didn't know that we had a quiz today. I had a dog that ate my homework. You know, all these kinds of excuses. No students come in and say, I knew what the lesson was and I didn't want to do it. I knew what the lesson was, and I don't like this subject. I knew what the lesson was, but I just didn't want to prepare for it. I knew what the lesson was, but I played Xbox for 12 hours last night. You know, 6 months ago, the teacher says this project is due in December. And the student comes to school that day and says, when did you give this out? I had no idea this was due today. All these kinds of things. No one wants to be deceived. We all want the truth. Well, the Apostle Paul gives us insight into how these individuals were deceptive and how they were deceiving the Galatians. So walk down through these verses with me pretty rapidly and just consider with me all the ways that the deceiver Satan will use his servants to bring deception into the life. Verse number 7, we start out, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? The first part that we see here of their characteristics or the characteristics of false teachers, they hinder the truth. The Galatians had accepted Christ. They were running the race well. They were serving faithfully. They were growing rapidly and continually. And yet someone comes in and hinders them. The best way to describe this for those of you that enjoy watching the races that will come up here in the Olympic events, or perhaps you enjoy watching the Kentucky Derby, the Belmont, the Preakness. I enjoy those horse races. I try to be in a place at the time appointed, and I always try to watch them. I don't know any of the horses, don't know anything about who should win and everything like this until I get to that day. But as I'm watching it, at times, you will see horses that are coming down. They'll clear that fourth turn, and then you'll see one of them that just kind of starts to edge out and kind of pushing another horse a little bit out of its lane. You'll see this happen in racing with cars. And they're coming around that final turn. We've been to Bristol Motor Speedway many times. Well, we had teenage trips, and we went to Talladega. We visited the Atlanta Motor Speedway. And when you're watching them and they're racing and they'll just push that car, that's the exact description that's happening here. This individual has been saved, born again, running the race well, growing, excited, on fire, and someone just starts to push them out of their lane. They just start to move them out of their place and out of what they ought to be doing. And Satan is a master at this. Sometimes it could be a family member that is just edging you out of your lane for the Lord Jesus Christ. They may say something like this, come go with me on this Sunday. Oh, don't be so fanatical. God won't be upset if you just miss one service or two services. It could be a lost friend. It could be a coworker. Come join me. It could be an old habit or lifestyle. It could be, in fact, a false teacher. And the Apostle Paul warns them and says, they are hindering the work that God desires to do in your life. They're hindering you. They're pushing you out of your line that you're running for the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times have we watched someone that gets saved and they start running very well and then they get hindered? They're doing great. I watched this in different occasions in church ministry. People that have trusted Christ and they're on fire, they're doing great. And then, in fact, they are hindered from the truth. Number one, verse number 7, they hinder the truth. Number two, verse number 8, they're not of God. Look what the Bible says. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Their doctrine is not of God. They may have a wonderful outward appearance. They may have their Bible tucked just so. They might ask superior questions in the Sunday school class, but they are not servants of Almighty God. They're not of God. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 14, the Bible says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, here it is, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. You know, Judas Iscariot sounded really good when he interacted with the apostles. He sounded really good at different times. And from the Gospels, we find out that Judas Iscariot held the money bag. Now, I'm not sure if you would agree with this, but I think that if you and I created a group of individuals, that we would give the most trustworthy person the money. I think we'd look out amongst ourselves and say, we believe this guy's the most trustworthy person, so let's give him the funding and we'll let him hold the bag. That was Judas Iscariot amongst the apostles. And when the time came that a woman came in and broke an alabaster box of perfume and anointed the Lord Jesus Christ in light of Calvary, Judas Iscariot stepped forward and buttoned his robe. Men, while this has been a wonderful display on the Lord Jesus Christ, could this not have been sold that we might give a vast amount of money? In fact, he probably said a vast amount of money to the poor. Could we not have fed so many people? Why has this waste been done? And I'm sure for a moment that there were disciples that thought, man, why didn't I think of that? Judas, boy, he's on it. He has said something so great and so wonderful. Yeah. Yes, and then the rest of them button their robes. Why, yes, Judas, you're right. And then the Lord stepped in and told them the truth. And then it was revealed that, in fact, Judas was the one who would betray the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's interesting in the Gospel of Matthew, when the time came that Jesus Christ said, it's one of you sitting here with me at the table, no one said, it's him! It's Judas. I know it. They all said, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Judas was so slick and so deceptive, but in truth, Jesus Christ knew his heart. They're not of God, and their actions, here it is, reveal their heart. Their actions eventually reveal their heart. Somewhere along the lines, it will be revealed that they are not of God. Number one, they hinder you. These false teachers have come in and they're moving you off of your line of ministry for Jesus Christ. They're seeking to move you off the line of doctrine that has been given in the Word of God. Number two, it does not come from God. It is not of God. Number three, and look at this with me carefully, folks. They not only hinder the truth, they're not of God, but number three, they contaminate the church. They contaminate the church. The Bible says in verse number 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Leaven is a symbol of corruption, and it only takes a very small amount to be corrupted. Now, if I were to pour a beautiful glass of water and you're dying of thirst, and I'm saying to you, hey, you need this glass of water, but I take just a few drops of cyanide and just drop them into that water glass. Are you going to think to yourself, hey, that's no problem. I'm sure I'll be okay. If I were to take a few drops of motor oil and water don't blend, so you'd see it there in the glass. But if I were to say, hey, it's a relatively clean glass and it's not that bad of contamination. No, you would obviously say, no, I don't want any part of that. I don't want anything to do with that. Why? Because of the contamination. Well, that's exactly what happens with these false teachers. They contaminate the church. In our text, that leaven is doctrine. But leaven can come in many forms. It can come in the form of bitterness. It can come in the form of gossip. It can come in the form of immorality. And therefore, I must be careful about who I allow to influence my life and my path. I want to stay in the multitude of biblical, Bible-believing counselors. I want to stay right in the center of people that are teaching me the truth and encouraging me in my lane and having me follow the Lord Jesus Christ above all else. I absolutely desire that people come and join with us here at our church. And we pray every day and pray each week as a staff that we will do what God wants us to do and that people will hear the truth of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and come and join with us here at FBT. We'd be thrilled to have them. But we also have a companion prayer. God, protect us from the wolves. Protect us from those wolves that come in sheep's clothing. And they appear to be fine. They appear to be as everybody else, but inwardly they are destroying from within. Ravening wolves, the Bible says. I want to be careful about the influences that I have in my life. The Bible, or the old quote comes from Ben Franklin. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of a rider, the battle was lost. And so we might think to ourselves, that's a small thing, and it won't have a great impact, but we must be vigilant for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because our church body's at stake. And wherever God is at work, Satan is not going to be happy. And so Satan will seek to get his companions involved with the ministry, and they don't come in with pointed ears and a pitchfork and a red suit. They come in looking just like you and me. And they're off in their doctrine, and they're off in their gossip, and they're off in their bitterness, and they're off in all these different things. And pretty soon it starts to have an impact. Pretty soon it starts to grow. Many years ago, we had an activity, a husband-wife activity, and the men were going to prepare the desserts. And so there was going to be a competition. Well, anytime you give men and a possible ribbon at the end of whatever's going to be done, we want to do our very best. And so I called my mom and I said, Mom, can you help me make some sweet rolls? Well, helping me make sweet rolls over the phone and really accomplishing what my mom has been able to successfully do through the years is two different things. But I was amazed at how I took out that little tiny packet of yeast. Just that little packet of yeast. And you open that up and Mom said, oh, you just do this, you do this, you do this. And I came back in a while and I've got this large amount of dough. And from that dough, Mom says, you can make this many sweet rolls and you can do this many things. And I took the sweet rolls and lost. But, you know, it's the way it goes. Another guy opened a can of, he made a caramel pie from condensed milk. And I guess you use condensed milk somehow. And the caramel pie came out of that. Is that right? And it was like there was nothing to it. He bought the crust, shook the can of condensed milk, poured it in, and it set up his caramel pie. And I'm like, come on, man, I labored on these sweet rolls. There should surely be some extra points for that, but didn't get any extra points. The caramel pie was really good. And I'm butchering how it actually came together, of course. But here it is, out of that little packet comes something that grows and grows and grows and doesn't seem to stop. And I'm saying that Satan desperately desires to get the little packet into FBT. And we just must simply fight against this kind of false doctrine. Well, we go to the Word of God, verse number 7. They hinder the truth. Number 2, they're not of God, verse number 8. Number 3, they contaminate the church. And it says, it's just a little leaven. It doesn't take very much. Number 4, verse number 9, or going on, verse number 10. The Bible says that they will be judged. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Verse number 10. They will be judged. If you have your Bibles open at this time, turn back with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to read one verse with me. This is an encouraging verse for the man in the ministry, and it's a sobering verse for the man in the ministry. Whenever we don't know all that we would like to know about the man in the ministry, know that verse number 5 is in the Word of God, and it does exist. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 5, look what the Bible says. Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Corinth, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. There are so many things that we don't know that go on behind the scenes. And we all at different times make assumptions. We make assumptions about the pastor. We make assumptions about the ministerial staff. We make assumptions about our deacons. We make assumptions about our Sunday school teachers. We make assumptions about our fellow church members. And I declare to you that there will come a time that we will all give an account before Almighty God. And the Bible says that he will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. And so here in Galatians, the Apostle Paul says, there will come a time where they will stand and be judged because they are contrary to Almighty God. They are hindering believers. They are contaminating the church. And it is doing great damage to the cause of the faith. And he says, but their day of reckoning is coming. Their day of reckoning is coming. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 6, the Bible says, it would be better for a millstone to be hung about my neck and to be thrown into the deepest sea than to offend people with the truth and error of the scriptures. The judgment of God will come upon these false teachers. They will be judged. Back in Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 11, will you notice the fifth thing? They hinder the truth. They're not of God. They contaminate the church. They will be brought into judgment. And then number 5, verse number 11, they persecute true teachers. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. The Apostle Paul says, if I'm preaching the truth of the gospel, why are these people persecuting me? Why are they bringing persecution? Should we not be on the same team? Should we not be actively pursuing the same thing? It's the quarterback who steps back from his own 20-yard line and throws the football with a perfect spiral into the hands of his receiver. The receiver catches it, and he fakes out the defensive back and runs back into the end zone behind his quarterback. Say, what? No, Pastor, that would never happen. Yes, it would never happen. Why? Because the quarterback and wide receiver should be on the same page. They should be functioning and working towards the same goal, getting a touchdown, moving the ball. The Apostle Paul says, look, I'm trying to move the ball for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are these guys taking you back? Why are they so contrary to the truth that is being preached? Let me give you one more this morning, and it's in verse number 12. And this is very sobering. We find that they hinder the truth, verse 7. We find that they are not of God, verse number 8. We find that they contaminate the church, verse 9. We find that they will be judged, verse 10. We find that they persecute true teachers, verse number 11. But then verse number 12, this is the sobering end. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. The Apostle Paul is hot under the collar. He is so aggravated and can almost strangle the false teachers. In days gone by, I have observed this in church government, where an individual goes about accruing to himself companions over an issue, and then in the midst of church government unfolding, he has multiple individuals stand up and begin to state his case and begin to proclaim that they're with his case. And then they seem to be all acting individually, but it's very clear that there has been a lot of talk behind the scenes. And I remember being in some of those circumstances where the church government is being played out and motions are being made, seconds are being made, and questions are being asked and questions are being answered. And it's clear that some people have an ulterior motive. And you're just like, something is afoot here. And there have been times, and I know this isn't going to sound spiritual, I know that this isn't going to sound real godly, but there's been times that I, as a pastor, have wanted to choke someone. I can't believe you're doing this. Now, I want to, you know, bless them as I'm doing it. Bless your heart, bless your heart, bless your heart. But I just don't understand how they would lead people, and people that were running well and doing very well in their path and being successful for the Lord in their service, being successful for the Lord in their ministry, how they could be pushed out of their lane, and how a little leaven could creep in and move them. And sadly, I've watched that take place in the hearts and lives of young adults, teenagers, adults, and they get moved from their spot where they knew they really should be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul brings it all down to this: eventually, my friend, they'll be cut off. Can I tell you something here that's very, very critical for every person that's a part of FBT? This is not my church. This is God's church. And I tell you what, there are some things that I don't want to mess with in the world. And one of those things that I don't want to mess with is God's church. And so while at times I'll say, hey, this is my church, these are my constituents, or this is my church family, and I'll use that word, make no mistake about it, the way I'm using that wording is not at all what I really mean when I say this is God's church. He founded it. He died for it. He gave us the doctrines that direct us. He gave us the pattern. This is all His idea for us to be a part of a local New Testament church. And I tell you what, I give warning to all those that would come in that would seek to be ravening wolves, that would put on sheep's clothing and pretend to be like everybody else so that they could destroy a church from within. My friend, I can tell you of a ministry that once ran thousands, and they're no longer in existence today. This is in my lifetime. How does that happen? It happens because Satan says, I don't want that light and that salt spread in that area, and so I'm going to send some of my minions, and they're going to go in, and they're going to mimic everything that everybody else is doing. They might even make their way into the choir. They might even make their way into special music. They might even make their way into being a substitute Sunday school teacher. And boy, they all look great. But boy, Satan is a master. Mark this down in your notes, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. And his desire is to use these false teachers to come into a body just like this and to say, I've come to destroy, and they have a smile on their face. And so I say to all of the FBT family, we must be vigilant. We must be kind. Now, don't come in tonight and beat some fellow church member up because you think they're leaven, okay? Pastor, I saw a packet of yeast in his pocket. Okay? We don't need fisticuffs out front. It's not a way to win friends and influence people. But boy, I tell you what, be back in the services tonight, and we're going to deal with a similar topic from the book of Jude. And it is amazing at how all of these things have lined up on this day. From my Sunday school lesson, Matthew chapter 7, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into heaven. There's false teachers. Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 through 12, there are false teachers. Jude, earnestly contend for the faith because certain men have crept in unawares. And we must be vigilant. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this challenge from the Scriptures. Thank you for the truth that the Apostle Paul gives about these false teachers and identifying them. They hinder the truth. They're not of God. They will be judged. They will be cut off. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to be truth inspectors. Thank you for the many that we have here on campus and those watching online. There is so much today under the banner of Christianity. And it seems just incomprehensible, but someone will claim to be Christian at one point of the conversation, and in just a matter of a few sentences, they're using the Lord's name in vain. Or they're expressing foul language, and I just don't get it. Lord, help us to be very much in tune with the Word of God, and that we would spot this kind of leaven which seeks to creep in and to leaven the whole bunch. Would you, in this time of invitation, help each one of us to survey our own individual walk? Are we in the Scriptures daily? As the Bible says about the Bereans, are we in the Scriptures daily where we're deciphering whether these things be true? It's not hard to deceive. I mean, even the apostles were deceived to a point, because Judas Iscariot deceived Peter for a time. He deceived Matthew for a time. He deceived Thomas. He deceived each of Peter and, or James and John. So it can be accomplished. Satan's a master. But boy, the truth and the knowledge of the truth will point out the counterfeit. Lord, grant to us wisdom.